If I could see the invisible weight pressing down on your shoulders right now, how heavy would it be? You are physically standing, performing your daily duties, but your soul is carrying the weight of the world. You're trying to hold everything together, desperately stretching yourself to be everything to everyone, everywhere, all at once. Consider the story of Sarah, a dedicated mother and professional. It is Friday evening. She has just finished a grueling work week, yet she is immediately trying to prepare a flawless family dinner, organize the weekend schedule, and emotionally support a friend going through a crisis. Sarah smiles and tells everyone she has it handled, but underneath the table, her hands are shaking. She is completely depleted. She feels a deep, crushing guilt that she is not a perfect enough mother, a successful enough worker, or a supportive enough friend. She's running on empty because she refuses to accept the reality of her own existence. If we just try harder, sleep less, and if we just try harder, sleep less, and care more, we can finally satisfy everyone and fix everything. But we never do. We just break. The philosopher Byung-Chul Han, in his book The Burnout Society, diagnoses this modern tragedy. He observes that modern people are achievement subjects who willingly exploit themselves under the illusion of limitless capacity. He writes, "The lamentation of the depressive individual that nothing is possible can only occur in a society that thinks nothing is impossible." He argues that our exhaustion is not caused by external oppression, but by the violence of our own limitless self-expectations. The solution to this exhaustion is not a better time management system or a new productivity hack. The spiritual truth is this: the crisis of rest is fundamentally a crisis of misunderstanding of human life. Why do these two equate? Because when we misunderstand what it means to be human, falsely believing we are supposed to be limitless, flawless, and in total control, rest feels like a failure. We view our need to stop as an annoying interruption to our imagined omnipotence. We do not rest because we refuse to accept this reality. True rest is attained only when we accept and actually enjoy the limits and truth of human life. That we are imperfect beings, living in an imperfect world, and facing the end of our earthly life. The reason we cannot stop striving is that we have bought into a modern lie about our nature. I am limitless. We view the realities of human life not as a natural design, but as a personal failure to be overcome. Theologian Kelly Capick, in his profound book, You're Only Human, explains that we tragically confuse our finitude with sin. He writes, "Finitude is not the sin. It is a gift from God. We are finite creatures, not the infinite creator." When we refuse the truth of our existence, we crush ourselves and those around us. If we are to find true rest, we must confront and embrace the three profound truths that define our existence. First, we are imperfect beings. We live under the illusion that we can be flawless. But the reality is that you are flawed, and so is everyone else. Because of this, you can't fully satisfy others, and no one can fully satisfy you. The great spiritual writer Henry Nouwen, in Life of the Beloved, addresses this painful reality. He writes, "We are all broken, and only when we accept our brokenness can we give ourselves to others without demanding that they perfectly heal us. When we demand perfection from ourselves or our spouses and children, we destroy our peace." Second, we live in an imperfect world. We expect life to be a neat, solvable equation where good behavior automatically equals good results. But the world is unpredictable, unreasonable, and unmatched. The math of life does not always add up. Tragedies happen, plans fail, and storms come unannounced. Theologian Reinhold Niebuhr understood this human struggle against the uncontrollable. In his famous Serenity Prayer, he pleaded with God, "Give us grace to accept with serenity the things that cannot be changed." Refusing to accept the unreasonableness of the world keeps us in a state of perpetual anxiety. Third, we will face the end of our earthly life. We live and work as if we have an infinite amount of time to accomplish our goals. But we are finite. Our days are numbered, and we will all eventually face the end of this earthly journey. We try to outrun our mortality by being hyperproductive, attempting to fit eternity into a few short decades. Modern psychology paints a startling picture of what happens to the body and mind of a person who refuses to accept these realities of human life. When we try to control the unpredictable, satisfy the insatiable, and outrun our own mortality, our brain registers this impossible task as a constant threat. Imagine Mark, a business owner who tries to micromanage every unpredictable variable in the economy to ensure his company never fails. He tells himself he is just being responsible. But biologically, he is in a chronic state of fight or flight. Psychiatrist Kurt Thompson, in his book The Soul of Shame, explains this biological reality. He writes, "When we refuse to live within our God-given design, our neurobiology remains in a chronic state of emergency." Mark is burning up his nervous system because he is a finite creature trying to run the software of an infinite God. The system inevitably crashes. The refusal to accept the truth of human life is not ambition. It is an act of spiritual rebellion that destroys our bodies. Before we can find a cure, we must look to divine wisdom to understand how to live within the truth of human life. We treat our conditions as curses, but God intended them to be the very boundaries that create rest. Look at the wisdom of the book of Ecclesiastes. The preacher looks at the unpredictable, uncontrollable nature of the world and realizes that human striving is like chasing the wind. Theologian Jacques Ellul, in his Meditation on Ecclesiastes, Reason for Being, argues that accepting the vanity of human control is the only path to true freedom. He notes, "God does not ask us to conquer the wind. He asks us to trust the one who made it." God offers us three liberating solutions to our crisis of misunderstanding. First, accept human life's irony. Stop fighting the unpredictable and unreasonable nature of the world. The imperfect world will not be fixed by your endless worrying. Accept that there are things you cannot understand or control, and surrender them to the divine. What does this actually mean in our daily lives? It means abandoning the exhausting vending machine, theology of life, where we mistakenly believe that if we just put in enough perfect behavior, hard work, and flawless planning, we are guaranteed a pain-free, successful result. It means acknowledging that the race is not always to the swift, that bad things happen to good people, and that the math of the universe does not always add up neatly. Accepting this irony is not an act of helpless defeat. It is an act of profound trust. It means looking at the chaos of life and saying, "I do not understand the plot, but I completely trust the author." When you stop demanding that the world make perfect sense, you immediately release the crushing burden of having to fix it. Second, savor your given day as much as you can, because our earthly life will come to an end. Today is not merely a stepping stone to a better tomorrow. It is a fragile, finite gift. Do not waste today trying to secure an impossible tomorrow. C.S. Lewis, in the Screwtape Letters, powerfully captures this divine perspective. He writes, "The present is the point at which time touches eternity. And while the devil wants us obsessed with the future, God wants us to attend to the present. Eat your food with gladness, embrace your loved ones, and savor the present moment." What does it mean to truly savor? It means putting an end to the tragic cycle of postponed joy. We constantly tell ourselves, "I will finally rest when this project is over," or "I will be happy when the kids are older," or "I will enjoy life when I have more money." Savoring means realizing that someday is a thief that steals today. It means looking at the ordinary, unglamorous moments of your day, drinking a warm cup of coffee, feeling the sun on your face, or listening to your spouse speak, and recognizing them as holy miracles. You stop treating today as an annoying obstacle to get through and start treating it as a sanctuary to inhabit. Third, acknowledge you are a creature, not the Creator God. You are not the savior of the world. You are simply a part of it. What does this mean for your weary soul? It means you finally have divine permission to be limited. It means you are allowed to be tired. You are allowed to make mistakes. You do not have to have all the answers. And you are allowed to say no to requests that exceed your emotional and physical capacity. We often suffer from a subtle messiah complex, secretly believing that if we drop a single ball, the lives of everyone around us will collapse. To acknowledge you are a creature is to intentionally step off the throne of your own universe. It is the humble, deeply relieving admission that God is God and you are not. The world was spinning long before you were born, and it will continue to spin perfectly well while you sleep. When you finally embrace your creaturehood, you stop trying to manage the universe and simply let the Creator hold you. Dear friends, it is time to submit your resignation letter for the position of Creator of the universe. Step down from the illusion that you must be omnipotent, omnipresent, and flawless. When we flee the truth of our human lives, we flee the peace of God. We must return to the profound promise found in the Psalms, which offers the ultimate antidote to our exhausting perfectionism. "For He knows how we are formed, He remembers that we are dust." Psalm 103:14. The promise is incredibly freeing. God does not expect you to be a God. He knows you are dust, finite, imperfect, and temporary. And He loves you exactly as you are. Only upon this solid identity, not as a limitless machine but as a limited beloved creature connected to its maker, can we finally set down the phantom burden and truly inhabit the restful grace of our lives.